Well, it's good to see all of you here. It's great to hear the worship and to hear our Lord being lifted up and magnified, and just praise God for that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. I want to thank you, Father, for your presence. And I just totally and completely depend upon you to do your work. Pray, Father, please, that as the message is being presented, that not only I, but the congregation will recognize you carrying your word and you touching our hearts, and may we leave here today praising you even that much more for how great you are and how much you love us and for the things you do for us and for all the things you put on our heart to praise you for. Now, Father, bless us in every way to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Title of the message this morning is A Boatload of Happiness. Would everybody like that? A boatload of happiness, right? If God wants us to have abundant life, John 10:10, right? Then why are so many Christians dissatisfied or unhappy with their life? It's an important question. Why are Christians, we're finding Christians, unhappy and incontent with their lives? So today I want to give you three things you can do to be content and happy in your life. Now you have to understand that these things that I'm going to share with you this morning are not quick fixes, that's a one-time deal, okay? Instead, it's a lifetime focus. And so I wanted to read the scripture, and as we read the scripture, I know everybody's been sitting here. Can we stand for the reading today of the scripture in Mark 4:35-41? Let's all stand. Mark 4:35-41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Thank you for standing, and may God bless his word. You may be seated. So, what three points do we learn from this passage of scripture? The first is, we'll get right into it, the first point is that Jesus was with them in their boat. We need to understand as believers in Christ that when we ask Christ into our life as our personal Lord and Savior, and you need to, we all know the gospel, at least we should, that God sent his Son, that he died on the cross for your sin and my sin, that he was buried, that he rose the third day, that he's alive today at the right hand of the Father. And if we not only believe that, but personally ask God to forgive us for our sin and come live in our heart, then he will, and he'll give us eternal life. And that means eternal. It will never be taken away. And so we praise God for that, because what that means is that God is in our heart. We become a part of him. He's a part of us, and he will never, ever leave us. He is with us. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" So God knows your life. He's involved in your life. He's aware of your life. He's aware of the circumstances. He knows your challenges, your hurts, your pain, and all your aspirations as well. But in all of this, God is with you. Sometimes we think that God isn't with us. Have you ever been there? The world's going crazy. We're going crazy. Life's going crazy. It's all confusing and crosses over. And there's a sense that we don't feel God in our life. And we don't see him intervening. And yet we need to remember that God is with us always. He'll never leave us, never ever forsake us. And so in John 10:27-29, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hand." What two things do you find in that passage to be the most significant? What two things were emphasized more than once? The fact is that in verse 28, Jesus is saying, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Nobody will take us out of the hand of God. There's something about being secured and knowing that we are in the hands of God. Have you ever heard that expression? Lord, just let me be in your hands. I rely on you. I want to be dependent upon you to be in your hands. Well, Jesus said, you've got it. You're in my hand, you'll never be loosed from my hand, and no authority or power or anything at all can snatch you out of my hand. And snatching is to grab and to just pull out and yank out of the hand of God. Sometimes we feel that way in life. We feel like we're just pulled up from roots and we don't see God and we don't hear God and we don't see him intervening and all these types of things. But we need to remember that God's word is true, that we're secure in the hand of God, but not only in Jesus, as he referred to himself here, but he says that we are also in the hand of our Father in heaven. There's a distinction in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all three in one, but each one has their own distinctive purpose and identity, and so Jesus is telling us, look, you're not only in my hand, but you're in my Father's hand. Jesus walked the face of the earth. What did he do? I do nothing but my Father's will, paraphrasing. My Father who art in heaven, he would pray. And so we have a distinction that being in Jesus' hand, being in the Father's hand, that nobody and nothing and no authority or power can take us from that. So, when we're in the middle of that confusing time in life, when things are going crazy, when we don't know which end is up, so to speak, we have to remind us of the truth of God's word. God is with us. We are in his hand. So the first thing is Jesus was with them in the boat, in their boat. Number two, God is always in control. Do you ever feel like God's out of control? God's not having the hand of control? A similar situation, but God is always in control. In Mark 4:41, it says, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? We need to understand that God is in control of everything. There's no power, no authority, nothing that can override him. Jesus made everything that there is, everything that there was. That even through the book of Genesis all the way through, and even in the New Testament, Jesus is right there with the Father doing the Father's will. Jesus made everything for him, for his glory, for his purpose. And he again is in control. So therefore, he made the wind, he made the sea, he made everything. And he has that authority. The wind and sea doesn't have authority over him to say, you can't control us. It's a weird thinking, but yes, he can. God can control the wind and the sea. In 1 Chronicles 29:12, it says, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. And your hand is power and might. And your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. It's God's strength. It's God's power. And he reigns over everything. The term sovereign Lord. King of kings, Lord of lords. No one parallel to him. No one higher than him. He is God. He's in control. In 1 Peter 3:22, it says, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God? Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject unto him. Again, another example that even the angels in heaven and all authorities. I mean, think about the passages of Scripture that were in the New Testament, or that are in the New Testament, where Jesus commanded the demons to come out of people, and they ran into the pigs, right? A couple thousand of them there, right? Where the demons trembled before Jesus. He has authority over demonic power. He has authority over natural order of nature. He has authority over kings and presidents and everything. God is sovereign, but God allows man to make their own decision. And we can either have the decision to trust in God as our Savior and to trust that he is with us and to trust that he's in control. Whatever's going on in our life, he's using that for a purpose, that either he's revealing himself to us and his power and his purpose in our life, or he's allowing us to go through certain things in our life that are there to shape us and to mold us and to make us into what he wants us to be. One of the two of the virtues that I find the most difficult in the character of God, that in his control and in his authority that he shapes and molds us into, is long-suffering and patience. Who likes being patient? Who likes long-suffering? And do we learn it easily? No. So sometimes those things come into our life that are havoc, and God takes a step back and he wants to see how much we're going to rely on him and claim, you are with me, you'll never leave me, this situation you are in control of, even though I don't understand what you're doing. I'm going to trust you. That's a resolve to understand that. Number three, God accomplishes his purposes. We need to understand that God doesn't do things in vain. God doesn't allow things in vain. God allows us, again, to make our own choice, that free will. God allows us to either follow him or not follow him, whether saved or lost. God gives us that choice, but God has a purpose. God has an absolute purpose. Even wicked leadership, wicked rulers, God used for his good. God's allowed things to happen that we don't understand, that God has revealed himself through. So in Mark 4:35, it says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. What was the first thing in this text that we read that Jesus told the disciples? Let's get in the boat and cross over to the other side. Is that not his purpose? Was that not his purpose? Now let's look at that on a bigger scale. I'm saved, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that when we die or we're raptured, we're going to heaven to be with Jesus. Right? We got point A to point B. Now, who knows what's going to happen in the middle? None of us. We just don't know the course that we're going to be on. The disciples didn't know that either. They got in the boat. They're familiar with the water. They get out there, and this storm hits. Some have surmised that there is a seismic reaction to an earthquake in the ground underneath the water that caused such waves and such turbulence that the disciples weren't even used to that. Of course, that's a speculation because it's not written in Scripture as such that I'm aware of. Nonetheless, the disciples were terrified. Did they know that Jesus was in the boat with them? Yeah. Do we know that Jesus is in our heart and in our lives by faith in Christ? Yeah. Do we have circumstances that overwhelm us in life that scare the socks off of us? Yes. Do we have times where we feel like God, again, is not there, where God is not talking to us? We don't feel that closeness with God. We don't understand why he's not intervening. This is a horrible situation. God, do something. But God is sovereign. And God has a reason. And God has a purpose. And we need to remember, like he told the disciples, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. God has a plan for your life, and he's going to get you to the destination that he purposes for your life. Whatever that might be, but everything in between, it's not going to be smooth sailing. It never is, whether you're saved or lost. It's not a smooth sailing time. It says in Mark 5:1, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. They were on that boat. They thought they were going to perish. The boat was filling up with water. Jesus was asleep. He wasn't responding, right? They go and they basically are screaming in desperateness to Jesus. They say, don't you care? But isn't it amazing that he was asleep on this boat that was bouncing up and down, you know, violently? He's asleep there. And of course, what do you tell them? Why do you have such a little faith? Isn't that true of you and I? We have overwhelming circumstances in our life that we have no control over that are threatening. And we would think from a human perspective that that's natural, that we're afraid, but we're not on that level. We have Jesus with us. We are in him. He is in us. We are his children. He is our Father in heaven. And we can trust him. And so Jesus is saying, where's your faith? I have a purpose. I'm in control. And I am with you. Therefore, why are you fearing? The disciples saw the miracles that Jesus did. And that's something you and I need to remember, that as we walk with Jesus, we're experiencing the wonder of Jesus working in our life. We'll be able to reflect on when God has given us grace or comfort or mercy, when God has provided in ways that we never expected. We're looking at our own experiences and we're wondering, that's the marvelous hand of God in my life, in your life. And those are markers in our life that we can reflect on and go, God, I'm going through this, but I know what you've done in the past. And even if we don't have those markers, maybe it's our new journey in Christ, we know that he's with us. We again know that he's in control of everything. There's no authority or power or might or any dominion at all that does have any influence, any threat, any higher than Jesus. And he's in our heart and we can trust him. So what have we learned? We've learned that God's presence is with us. We've learned that God has control over all circumstances, even when we don't see it. And the third thing, we've learned that God's purpose will be accomplished. God is good. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. He will never, ever do anything that's not good for us. We will, on the other hand, face not only the challenges, but the consequences of our own decisions. Yet God knows all that, and he has a purpose in that. And it might be just to shape us or to bring us to be humble before him or to realize who he is or whatever. But God is in control, and he will accomplish that work. So, remembering these truths along with applying two important steps, which I'm going to tell you here in a minute, will ensure that we as Christians will have lasting contentment and a boatload of happiness. Worry, fear, dissatisfaction, and unhappiness will not fill our lives if we apply these two principles. We know the facts. God is present with us. God is in control of all circumstances. God's purpose will be accomplished. But we will find true contentment, true happiness when we apply these two principles. And we will have an abundant life in Christ. Jesus makes two steps very clear to us. Do not fear life's circumstances. You say, Pastor, that's easy to say, because life circumstances are real and they're scary. God is saying, I am with you. I am in control. I have my purpose. You say, well, that's not enough. Because I can face the fearful situation that overwhelms you. You ever have times where fear overwhelms you? One of the things is that I've learned from the Lord, and it is not an easy thing, but God will give us grace to do it. There's a point when in our walk that we're looking at the circumstances that are just overwhelming us, dominating us, scaring the socks off of us, as I said, that we have to make a conscious spiritual decision to say, God, I give it to you. I'm going to let go and give it to you. And as often as we have to repeat that process, we keep doing it. You've heard it expressed this way, that we continue to lay it down before God, and then we take it back. Lay it down before God's throne, and we take it back. But the conscious effort to continue to say, God, I'm giving this to you. I have had times in my life where things have scared me so much that I wake up in the middle of the night and just pray. I walk through my walks through town, and it just overwhelms me with a sense of fear. And God says, Terry, I'm right here. Terry, I've taken care of you in the past. Terry, you know what the circumstances are, but I am in control. Trust me, because when you trust me, then you're exercising faith that reveals who I am to you. And we have to be able to let go We have to say that conscious decision, okay, God, no matter how much I am intimidated or afraid of this circumstance, I am consciously and spiritually with all of who I am giving it over to you and trusting you that you will take care of this impossible situation that I am facing. And we continue to do that. And we continue to watch. And then we continue to see God do his work and his purpose, taking care of those things. So do not fear life circumstances is the first step in accomplishing having a content, happy life, like a boatload of happiness. The second is have courageous faith. Isn't what I just described to you having courageous faith? God, I see the circumstance right in front of me and it's going to kill me. I've evaluated all the things that can happen as a result of this that's confronting me. And I don't like the outcome of what I see. The guys on the boat, the disciples on the boat, evaluated the situation all around them. The boat could break up and dislodge within the lake. The boat could fill up with water and they could drop like a rock under the water. The mast could fall over. Whatever the case might be, we've surmised what the outcome of this situation is, and it's dark, it's bleak, it's intimidating, it's scary. And Jesus said, "Why do you fear?" See, God will give us the faith that we need if we're willing to take the step to have faith in him. God gives that to us. Say, okay, God, your word says this, therefore I'm going to take the step and say, okay, you told me you're going to take care of me. You told me you know this circumstance and you're in control and you're with me, so I'm trusting you because you're my Savior, you're my Heavenly Father, and I'm giving this to you and I'm trusting you to resolve this so that when the outcome comes, when the purpose is achieved, I might bring you more glory and praise and witness of who you are and my faith may increase. So do not fear life circumstances. Have courageous faith in God. In Mark 4:40 it says, "But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Isn't that really the bottom line? We want to take control of the situation to get it taken care of as fast as we can. But God's saying, let go of your life and give me the reins and you'll find life. Hold on to your life and you will lose the life I intend for you. So we let go of the reins, we give them to our Father, we say, we trust you to take care of this, and by your grace, I will not be afraid, because your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come in and speak to our hearts and saying, I'm right here, I totally understand, and I'm going to take care of this. Just believe that and know that assurance in your own heart. It has been said that faith is believing what God says, fear is believing what the devil says. We are going down with the ship. There is no way around it. That's the devil. God says, don't fear. God says, believe in him. That's a decision. We either focus on all the reality of the situation and how incapable we are of taking care of it and the outcome that might come, or we believe God that he'll take care of it in ways that we didn't expect. Praise God for that. So contentment and happiness for the Christian is knowing that God is always with us, always in control, and accomplishing his purposes. Therefore, live life daily without fear and have courageous faith in God. Scripture tells us very plainly, he says, there's enough evil in each day, but I've given you the grace to face that evil and have victory over it. One day at a time, have the faith in God that he'll take care of it, and don't be afraid, for that is where we will have contentment and happiness in the Lord. When we have that assurance in our spirit that God has got it in control, he's got it in his hands, he will take care of it. And that sense of the Spirit of God just giving a sense of assurance and peace down deep in our heart. And we say, there's that safe place, right in the hand of Jesus. That's where we find contentment and happiness. And you look at the circumstance and say, you're nothing, because God is everything. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the promises that you give us in your word. You intend for us to have contentment and happiness throughout life, no matter how difficult the challenges are that lay before us. Because as we trust you, as we love you, as we put our faith in you, as we surrender all things to you, you assure us that you love us and that you're in control, you're with us, and that you will carry out your purpose. So we praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.